Art Musings.
Art Musings.
This is Art Musings with Love from Oxford, a podcast where we natter with local artists, learn about their process, their work, and delve deep into the juicy bits, the dark underbelly of being an artist. I'm Carol Terrio, a painter focused on watercolor and inks.
And I'm Sally Ann Stewart, a lino cut printmaker who loves depicting the beautiful city we live in. We're kicking off our art careers and hoping to learn a few tips and tricks from those around us. And we thought you might like to join us. Allons-y.
Allons-y.
So, today on Art Musings, Carol and I are chatting with Oxfordshire multidisciplinary artist Kay Gibbons. Since 1983, Kay has been committed to creativity and art, and she seems totally unfazed by mediums. She paints, she draws, she sculpts, and she designs beautiful glasswork. Much of Kay's work vibrates with colour, others with strong intersecting lines. Her paintings are often large and abstract. Her sculptures are fluid with sharp angles. Her glasswork, including commissioned stained glass windows for a number of different hospitals and care centres in the area, bring the power of art to those facing health difficulties. Kay explains it so well when she says, "My art is a visual poem with as many different interpretations as there are viewers."
And today's Art Musing topic, as chosen by our guest Kay Gibbons, is art as healing. And this is a topic that's close to my heart. As anyone, I think, who's lived long enough knows, life can throw you some curveballs. And sometimes these unexpected curveballs can unsteady you, and sometimes they can even make you question the road you're traveling. For me, art has been absolutely instrumental in, I think, grounding me as a person. I don't know if that sounds grand, but that's what it feels like. It's literally given me more meaning and joy. Sally, art is healing. What do you think about that?
You giggled then because you know what's coming. I need healing for my art. I think it has the opposite effect for me, that I get myself so tied up in knots and anxious about it that it's an instrument of torture, basically. So I'm really very excited to hear about how it's helped Kay, because maybe I'm just doing it wrong. Maybe I've been doing it wrong all along, and there's a whole other path I need to follow.
I think you need to give yourself a break, because you're doing both art and trying to make it a business, which is a double whammy, right?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, definitely.
But we're going to hear very soon from Kate, because, you know, she writes, quote, "I'm delighted beyond delighted that I am able to spend my days immersed in the joy of creativity in its many guises." I love that so much. So let's introduce Kay.
Yes. Welcome to Art Musings, Kay. Thank you so much for being here and taking the time to chat with us.
Hello. Hello, you guys. I'm so, so delighted to be here to talk.
Oh, we love having you here.
I love being here.
Typically, when we interview artists, we like to invite them at this point to share their Instagram or their website with listeners so listeners can see your art as we chat.
Well, the best place to find me at the moment is on Instagram at kgibbons_art.glass.sculpture.
So listeners don't know you at all. So typically we try and start with the background. So when did art worm its way into your life?
Well, art has, it's always been part of my life from a child. I always used to draw and draw and draw. And I remember when I was 5, so, so long ago now, I'd made a chicken out of clay at school. And it just happened. And this is the sort of journey as an artist that has followed me throughout my life. I make things and they just happen. And this is what happened with that chicken all those years ago. I just had a bit of a squish and a squash and there was a chicken. And how wonderful was that? And that sort of squishy squashiness has followed me. Very impulsive and intuitive.
It's amazing that how those early art experiences really stick with you, I think. From that moment, did you feel compelled to do more sculpture or did you just go for everything?
No. I just used to create. I love creating. I mean, I wasn't creating all the time. I wasn't absorbed by art. It was just something I did as a pastime. I would go and play in the fields, run in the fields with all my friends. And, you know, we did things like that. But other times I just wanted to draw.
Mm. And now at university, you studied anthropology. Now, were you still creating on the side or did you give yourself over entirely to that field of study?
No, I sort of devoted all my time to studying anthropology. I studied anthropology and I was totally absorbed by the whole process. And that was what I did. I had no time really to be an artist.
How long a hiatus from art did you have?
Well, that was just 3 years. Technically art is always in the background. But when I did my degree took over really, because degrees necessarily do take over. And I was so absorbed in the amazing, wonderful world of anthropology and all the things I could learn. I devoted all my attention to it.
And so when did you come back to art then?
Art has always been in the background. And there have been opportunities throughout my life. And because I'm an artist, lots of people say, Kay does art, so let's ask Kay. Those situations have been invaluable to me because it's enabled me to work on calligraphy with people who have written books. So I've collaborated with people with calligraphy. I've collaborated with people illustrating books. I've worked on workshops. I've done all sorts of things with my art. But recently, I've managed to come back to art because of COVID, the dreaded COVID.
COVID is, I think it's got many upsides, but this is clearly, been good for you.
It's been perfect. It's an awful thing to say COVID's been perfect for me because it's been absolutely awful for me. But because of COVID and lockdown, I've an extensive portfolio of work that has just been building up.
So tell us about your COVID experience, Kay. What happened to you?
Well, prior to COVID, I was working with my sister in her catering business. And I was a very competent person at running the business. So I was able to multitask and, you know, run businesses and things like that. But then COVID came along and knocked me completely. 1 week I was running the business for my sister who was away for a while. The following week I was struck with COVID in March 2020 and I was really ill for a few weeks. I got better and then I totally went downhill with fatigue. With the fatigue, basically, and the brain fog. And, that has followed me until today. I'm feeling so much better than I was, but I still do suffer from the after effects of COVID on that first episode. I've just got over my fifth experience of COVID within the past few weeks. So I think I'm just, COVID loves me.
Yeah. So what happened? So you were housebound, were you, with the fatigue?
Yeah, I was housebound. I could, with with the COVID and the long COVID, I was just so fatigued. I could barely get out of bed. I could barely turn to get a glass of water from the side of my bed. And when I could.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And you live on your own. You live on your own.
Yeah.
Kim.
So it was all a bit difficult, but I have a very supportive family who bought me meals and did my shopping. And so I was well looked after, even though I live on my own. I love to live on my own, actually.
Oh, good. Thank God.
And so how did the art come into play then?
Initially, I took all my work out and I laid it all across the floor and up the walls in my living room. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, Kay, basically, you are an artist. And I was so, so excited. And so it inspired me to get my pastels out, throw a big sheet of paper on the floor, get down on my hands and knees and go, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I'm a very impulsive creator, very intuitive. I just go whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
And did that help bring some of your energy back?
Momentarily, it goes up and down like a big dipper. There are days when you feel, yes, I can just produce 6 sheets of pastel drawings. Other days, it wipes you out and you're in bed. But, you know, the drive of that art sort of pushed me on. And I just love being creative.
Yeah, because we've been to your studio. We were there last week for a pre-chat, weren't we? We got to meet face to face.
You were.
And like, your house is your studio. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, my house is my studio.
Like the entire downstairs of your house is...
The upstairs is as well. Those of you who know Francis Bacon's studio, well, mine is verging towards that.
It's an incredibly creative and energetic space, and you're everywhere. Your energy is everywhere. It's like walking inside, like your brain somehow. It's quite glorious.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did your house not look like that, Kay, pre-COVID? Has there been this sudden upwelling of creativity over the last few years?
The upwelling of creativity during COVID totally altered my house. Because when I worked with my sister in her catering business, because it's a family business, you just work. And I'd get up very, very early in the morning, drive across Oxford and come back very late at night. So my house was basically my bed.
Yeah.
I'd come home, go to bed, get up really early.
That's the worst. We say in French, métro, boulot, dodo. You know, you take the subway, you work, you go to bed. Yeah.
So that was my life. And I didn't feel part of my house, if you see what I mean. But now my house is part of me. I'm not part of my, well, I guess I am.
You are. You've intertwined.
Yeah, we intertwine.
Oh, let's talk about your work, Kay. So you paint, you sculpt, you have your beautiful stained glass. Obviously, many artists identify with a single medium, but you seem to be so accomplished across all of them. Have you got a favourite, or do they each fulfil you in a different way?
I think they each fulfil me in a different way. During lockdown, of my fatigue, I was unable to create stained glass windows because stained glass is very physical and I didn't have the energy to be physical.
Of course.
So that was shelved for a while. So at that time, I was focusing more on just a few random splashes of watercolor and then doing random marks with ink. And then creating what everybody seems to think are beautiful pictures. But I don't create them purposely to be beautiful pictures. I just create them because it's for me. Do you understand what I mean? I do it because I want to do that. It's not necessarily for an audience.
Right.
Do you ever plan your pieces, or is it more spontaneous?
Well, I'm now getting more into glasswork, which I'm very happy about. You do plan that. A long time ago, I was a patient because, as Carol was saying when she was talking about how art has worked as a healing influence in her life, we all have our ups and downs. And there was an occasion where I had a bit of a down, and I ended up in hospital. And it was one of these situations that just pops up out of the blue. It was another K-Does art situation. I was in a ward which was being refurbished, and they said, "Oh, K-Does art, I wonder whether she would like to make a stained glass window."
So beautiful to be asked that, though, and to be trusted for it.
It's amazing. And at the time, I thought, hang on, can I make a stained glass window? So I thought, yeah, come on, just go, Kay, go. So that's what I did. And I said, yes, I will. I then needed somebody to teach me how to make a stained glass window. So I looked in the Art Week's catalogue, and I discovered Vital Peters. I saw his work. I pointed at it and said, that's the guy. I love this work. I want this person to teach me. And so I went to Vital's studio, and I remember cutting that very first piece of glass with the glass cutter. Was sitting in Vital's studio. He was at the other end. And I said, oh my God, Vital, I've just cut a piece of glass. And he said, yes, Kay. In his lovely Belgian voice. Because you don't think about cutting glass. Glass breaks. You don't ever think you have the control over that break. But anyway, that's what happened. And Vital was there to teach me how to make my first window, which went into the Littlemore Hospital onto the Phoenix Ward. And it was a stained glass window behind the desk on the unit, and it was lit from behind. So that was the first window I ever made. Most people go to stained glass classes and just make a little panel.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I was able to make a big, big window.
Wow.
I'm so jealous, Kay.
Well, I can teach you, Carol.
Good. Well, after the show. So, listeners, Kay is actually in my front room at the moment. And Kay, the window that's right in front of you, there's a beautiful square window right in the middle. And I've always wanted to put stained glass in there. So we will talk after the show.
We will talk. Brilliant. We will talk.
Now, your work, Kay, is so colorful and so full of forms. And somehow, for me anyway, I extract like deep meaning when I look at them, yet they're extremely abstract as well. So do you intentionally approach a work with the aim of being abstract, or is it way more intuitive than that?
When I'm working with glass, I like to be in a situation. I like to get a feel for the situation. And because of the hospital situations, the first two windows that I did, They were in mental health units, and the second one was in the Warnford Hospital, and it's there in the main corridor, a wonderfully big, big window. And I look at it and I think, oh my God, I actually made that.
I love that feeling for you.
But the thing about the windows is that I do like to put some symbolism into the abstract forms. Like you will be able to see on Instagram some of the windows, and the one in the Warnford, which is the big one, with on the left-hand side of the panel, there were like red squares tumbling from above. And the symbolism behind that was people in that space are very unhappy. Some may be very angry. So I was trying to present that in an angular form.
Yeah.
And that angular form rolls across to the panel to the right, and it's very circular. So in the circular form, I was trying to project the image of wholeness.
Beautiful.
And there are patterns within the round shapes and the square shapes, because the square shapes are not always square. The rounds are not perfectly round.
Yeah.
And the two spaces intertwine. And I see things very visually, and I'm sure some people don't quite understand when I talk symbolically and with symbolism and abstract forms. But I wanted to show the journey from one side to the other and how sometimes it interplays. And that affects us all in life.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just the other day I met somebody who, just randomly in the gallery in West Oxfordshire Art, where I went the other day. I met this lovely, lovely young woman who is working as an apprentice occupational therapist at the Warnford. Randomly, I bumped into her at the gallery at West Oxford in Bampton, where I'm a member and I exhibit. And she was talking to me about the window. I told her I'd made that window. And she said, you know, that is so many people talk to her about the art at the Warnford, and particularly about that window.
Yeah.
And how it means so much to them just to stand in front of the window, look, think, ponder, experience. And, you know, what greater joy for me to know that that happens. So out of my darkness, I was able to create something as beautiful as that, and now other people can stand there and look and think, and maybe they can go on to create their art.
Yeah. Do you know what I love about this, though, is there's a two-pronged benefit to this, because it helped you.
Yes.
On your journey to wellness.
Yeah.
And you're helping countless of other people, because, you know, we've all faced it. You know, we've all faced something horrible. And I can tell you, the last horrible thing I had to go through was root canal. And let me tell you, it was not fun. I had three sessions of like just horrible. And I would have loved if on the ceiling was one of your works. Not maybe the stained glass, I would have been nervous, but maybe a painting that I could look at during the horror show that I was suffering. Instead of, you know, like a picture of like a cat going, oh, this is perfect, you know. You've segued us perfectly, Kay, into our focus topic today, which is art as healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we already know why you've decided on this topic. You've explained it so well. Do you think it's the creativity that helps people, but it's also the enjoyment of the art, isn't it? It's also feeling understood through a piece, do you think?
I don't know whether it's feeling understood through a piece, because I don't know. Well, I guess there is that space where you want people to understand you, especially if you feel you've got no voice.
Yeah.
Which is how I used it when I was a teenager. Sadly, my mum died when I was 14. I wasn't able to cope with it, and I became very depressed. And I was then hospitalised again in the adolescent unit in Oxford. And I was able to use my art, because I found it so difficult to talk to people. I was very introverted. And
look at you now on a podcast.
I know, here I am here.
Across Oxford and the world.
There's no way I ever imagined I'd be doing this. But here I am anyway, here I am.
Welcome.
Thank you. And my art really was a way of me reaching out and saying, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
So in a way, it was me communicating with someone else. But at the same time, it was me trying to communicate with myself and trying to work out, hey, why do I feel like this? I'm going to draw a scribble there. And maybe that scribble just represents the way I feel right now.
Yeah.
It was rather amazing because I did a scribble on one occasion and I was asked to participate in an exhibition with that scribble in the Museum of, I'd like to call it MoMA, but it's not MoMA.
Modern Art Oxford, MAO.
Yes, Modern Art Oxford. I'd like to say, yes, I was part of MoMA.
One day.
I went to look at this exhibition with other people and never ever would I have imagined that I would be on a wall in a gallery. And there I was, my little 15-year-old self looking up at the wall, at my piece of work, which was really representing how I felt deep inside. So it was actually a very personal part of me. It was very personal. I was stuck up there on that wall in the museum.
Can you sort of go into any more depth, Kay, with how that helped you with your healing after your mother's death? Did it, I mean, I don't mean it to sound trite, but did it help in a way to distract you from your grief at all? When obviously you'd lost something so huge from your life.
At the time, my whole life was a big, big mishmash. I didn't know how to navigate it. And my art, I guess, was like, in my head now, I'm thinking it's like an anchor. I also see myself as a fisherman, sort of casting a line, which is technically my art, and wanting to move forward with it to help me find that way in the massive big ocean that I was swimming in.
It kind of gives you purpose.
Yes, it gives me purpose.
Yeah.
You know, a way of navigating the awful, awful sort of, I'd say mess. It wasn't a mess, but the awful emotional conundrum I was in.
Yeah.
Emotional stormy seas.
Yes.
You were saying earlier it was just a little mark, a squiggle of sorts that got you back in.
It was a squiggle.
Would you recommend that to people out there who are facing difficulties, who are feeling like they're not connected in some way? Do you think it could be a way forward for others to explore their own creativity?
I think that squiggle in us all has to come from yourself. You mustn't feel any external pressure to make that squiggle. You make that mark for yourself and for your own enjoyment, your own understanding. Of course, if there are people out there in a conundrum and they feel like making a mark, then they should make that mark. But they're not to make a mark to think, oh, I want this to go on the wall in the Museum of Oxford. They make those marks for themselves. When I was mark making, I didn't do it with the intention to become a stained glass artist. That just happened. You know, it was one of these Kay does art moments. Out of that darkness, it was like I'd fallen through a broken window. And suddenly being asked to make a stained glass window, I was able to bring the broken bits back together, rather like kintsugi.
Yeah.
In ceramics, Japanese art, where broken pieces are brought together with a gold thread and the brokenness is made even more beautiful. And I feel that's what's happened with my art. The initial squiggle at the adolescent unit in Oxford has developed into lead lines in my glass windows. And, you know, other squiggles in my paintings, in my sculptures, which themselves are quite linear. So the brokenness has been brought together. And what joy, utter joy for me to be able to produce windows.
Your story is so inspirational. Like, I know there are listeners out there, including maybe Sally here.
I haven't been crying. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, like Sally's work, the way she has to work, has to make work for other people. Like, she's constantly on pressure because it pays her bills. And being able to separate that is a really difficult thing. Like, it sounds easy rationally. It's not easy to do.
No, it's not easy at all, because I'm overjoyed because I am meeting more people who want my windows in their doors, in their homes. And how fantastic it is to meet so many different windows and interpret their ideas into a beautiful piece of work for their home.
So with commissions, Kay, do you feel, obviously they come with a pressure to produce something beautiful? You know, people have seen your beautiful work and they want a beautiful piece of Kay Gibbons glasswork. Does that pressure impede on your creativity at all, or are you still able to be free and relatively spontaneous?
With commissions, I just get so excited by the space that the work is going in, and I find that inspiring. But when it comes to making glasswork for exhibitions and things, oh my goodness, I've got to produce something here, and I do feel quite pressurized.
How do you deal with that?
Not very well, I don't think. It's very easy to get stressed over exhibitions, like I did over my Art Week's exhibition last year in Bampton. Oh, my goodness, was that stressful. But never mind. You know, life has its ups and downs.
Yeah, we may have to get you on in a year or two if we're still around, because to find out what happens on your journey. It's so exciting. You've shared so personal information, and it's been really inspiring to hear you, and I hope listeners out there think so too. Thank you so much for coming on Art Musings. It means so much.
You've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, Kay.
Thank you so much, you guys. I couldn't believe when I was asked. I thought, oh, I stumble at a microphone. So I hope this goes out well. I've loved every minute of it, and you're both very inspiring.
Oh. Shall we just remind everyone where they can see your work, Kay?
My work is at Instagram. My handle is @kgibbons_art.glass.sculpture. You can also see me on the Oxfordshire Craft Guild website. I'm here, there, and everywhere, actually. Oh, let me just quickly mention the Art Weeks. You can find my profile on artweeks.org, and I'll be exhibiting this year up at Shipton with Oxfordshire Craft Guild.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Kay. And if you want to get in touch with us, maybe want to come on the show, maybe give us some suggested topics, get in touch with us via Instagram at Art Musings Podcast. You can learn more about Sally's art and my art in the show notes for this episode. Thank you for listening. It means the world. See you in a few weeks.